There was another godly man who was a pastor in that church, in that Christian Missionary Alliance, called A.W. Tozer. Some of us would have read his writings, A.W. Tozer. And he, once as a young pastor, he was a really sincere godly man. He went to one of the older pastors in the Christian Missionary Alliance church and asked him, with this wonderful gospel that we preach of Jesus Christ as Savior, Baptizer, and A.B. Simpson used to preach about exchanging our self-life for Christ's life, for the Christ life. He asked this older man, as a young pastor, Tozer, why is it that these people who for so many years have heard these wonderful truths, who should be some of the sweetest saints on the face of the earth, are sometimes so sour and grumpy and hard to get along with, difficult to fellowship with, so hard and demanding? And he said that wise old man just kept quiet. He had no answer to give. I ask that same question today. Why is it so many who come regularly for the conferences, who hear some of these wonderful truths, who should be the sweetest, most gracious saints on the face of the earth, are sometimes so hard to get along with? Why is it some elders are so hard to fellowship with? Why is it people in the churches complain about that? Something is missing. We've got it all up here in the mind. We are stirred, but the stirring doesn't seem to last. We make decisions in conferences, but it doesn't last. It all disappears after a while. Something is wrong. Yeah, I feel very often that in spite of all that we hear, many of us are like orphans. You know, there's an insecurity about orphans because they've never felt the kiss of a mother or the hug of a father growing up in an orphanage. Maybe they're given food, clothing, education and all, but there's something that orphans miss. The hug and intimacy of parents. That brings a security. Orphans are insecure. And I believe that a lot, as I've observed Christians for more than 50 years, more than half a century, I believe that insecurity is the root cause of so many sins. Orphans are jealous of others. They are very possessive. They don't want you, if you meet, you're friendly with an orphan, that orphan will not want you to be friendly with anybody else because they are so insecure. They're very possessive. If you become their friend, they want you. Possessive. They won't let you share you with anybody else. And if they see two people talking together, they say, oh, they must be talking about me. Suspicion, jealousy, and orphans are, if they get something, they want to keep it. They don't want to lose it. It's like elders who don't want to lose their position, or they want honor from people, they want acceptance all the time. Orphans can never stand a rebuke. Oh, they'll get gone to depression for days because somebody corrected them. Insecure, insecure, insecure. All of humanity was like that. From the days of Adam, when Adam lost his father, lost God, knowing God intimately in Eden, ever since that day, Adam and all his children have been insecure orphans in the world. Everybody under the old covenant. That's why you see some of those great saints falling into depression. The great John the Baptist, who was the greatest prophet of all, when he was imprisoned, just because Jesus didn't get him out of prison, do a miracle, and kill Herod, he began to doubt. And from prison he sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you really the Messiah?" I mean, he had heard the voice from heaven. Supposing you heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son." Would you ever doubt after that? You think you won't. You will. John the Baptist did. When something you want desperately, your prayer that you asked for didn't get answered, the child you prayed for died instead of being healed, then you begin to doubt. Is he really the Messiah? Is all this true? I've had people sit in CFC for many years who say, "Brother Zach, I'll be honest with you." I remember one brother telling me this. He says, "I'll be honest with you that sometimes I doubt. Is this Bible really God's word? Is Jesus really the only way? Because I've never seen him or heard him or anything like that." And then he said to me, "But there's one thing that keeps coming to me." I remember on one conference way back in 1983 or something, he said, a man came crawling through the aisle. Just as I was about to start a Bible study, I was up in the pulpit, and he says he remembers that. He saw a man crawling up, and he said, "I saw you, Brother Zach, say to that person, 'In Jesus' name, lie down there.'" And the man went to sleep. And we had our Bible study, and when the Bible study was over, he got up and he says, "That day I realized there is power in the name of Jesus." And that, sometimes God does something like that. But then the same person became insecure after some time. And he left CFC. Insecurity. Orphans, always looking for attention. I must be the center of attention. I don't like anybody else to be the center of attention. There was a joke they used to say about a German ruler in the early part of the 20th century. He always wanted attention. If he went to a wedding, he wished he were the bride. And if he went to a funeral, he wished he were the corpse in the coffin. Because the attention was all centered around. Or are you like that? You find you like to have attention, and everybody talks about you and thinks about you, and you feel insecure if you're left by yourself. You can never be insecure if you know God as your Father. And that's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit really came to bring. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John 14. And Jesus, the first time he spoke about the Holy Spirit, about the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was the night before he went to the cross. He left that subject out completely in all his teaching. And just the night before he went to the cross, after they had broken bread, he had washed their feet, he says, "I want to tell you something." Verse 15, John 14, 15. "If you love me," there's only one proof of that, "you will keep my commandments." And they had already heard his commandments. Very high standard. Love one another as I have loved you. That means be willing to lay down your life for one another. Are you, brothers and sisters, willing to lay down your life? You may lay down your life for your child. That even a heathen, godless, atheist mother will do. But to lay down your life for one another in who other believers, that's an almost impossible standard. Oh, love one another, a new commandment I give you. Love one another exactly as I have loved you. How did he love me? He loved me by laying down his life for me. He gave up everything because he wanted me. And to have that type of relationship in the church where, "Brother, I don't want anything from you. And if you take something from me, I'm not going to fight for it. You just go right ahead. I love you, and I want to love you as Jesus loved me. And Jesus is willing to lose everything to have me, then I'm willing to lose things for the sake of the church. That's a type of bond that God brings. Only God can do it. Bring that type of bond between believers where we are willing to give up everything. It's that type of unity in which the church must grow. And so it's so difficult to keep these commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Immediately the disciples would have thought, well, how in the world can we keep them? And Jesus said, yeah, I know your question. I know what question is coming in your mind. He said, I will ask the Father to give you a helper to keep the commandments. So you see, the first time that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, it was in relation to keeping the commandments, not in relation to speaking in tongues or healing or any of these things. That's what we emphasize in CFC. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to help us keep His commandments. He's a helper.